This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support, and we are honored to start our week with talk radio legend Diane Rehm. She graced the airwaves on NPR on a national basis for 37 years, and she is still in the game as a pronounced journalist, and she has written about a sensitive topic, When My Time Comes. And before we get to When My Time Comes, Diane, it's an honor to share the microphone with you.
Jim, it's great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, last week, Rush Limbaugh died, and he was on the air, loathe him or love him, he was on the air for 32 years. That's hard to do nationally, but you did it for 37 years.
You're right, and I'm still doing it with two podcasts a week, plus a book club once a month, all for WAMU NPR. Plus, I've just completed both a documentary film and a book on medical aid in dying. So I've been busy.
Well, I'm glad you are continuing to do your thing, and you'll do this, I'm sure, until you take your last breath. And
absolutely.
No doubt about it. It's in your genetic code. And for those who are with you on the air for all those years, the listeners become part of the family. They were with you through all of life cycles, and you, of course, have had some personal losses during your time, which kind of dovetails with your book.
You're absolutely right. First of all, my mother died when I was just 19. She was 49. My father died 11 months later of a broken heart. Then, after 54 years of marriage, my beloved husband, John Rehm, died. He had very serious Parkinson's disease, and when he could no longer feed himself, stand on his own, bathe himself, toilet himself, he said, "I'm ready to die." And he was in a nursing home in Maryland, which did not then and still does not have medical aid in dying, which nine states plus D.C. do have. And so he decided to starve himself to death, which took 10 long days. It meant that he could not even have a sip of water, no medication, no food, and that's how he died.
My goodness. The book is When My Time Comes, a candid, compassionate consideration of the Right to Die movement, and Diane has lived it with her husband, and When My Time Comes will also be available as a PBS documentary in April. You were working 5 days a week as a talk host while this process was ongoing. I believe your husband, John, died in 2014.
That's correct.
How was that experience, trying to keep things together professionally while also dealing with this immense personal tragedy?
Well, Jim, we all do what we have to do. And I would be on the air. I'd get up at 5 o'clock each morning. I'd be at the studio by 8. I would be on the air from 10 to noon and at the studio preparing for the next day's program until, pardon me, about 3, and then head over to the nursing home where he spent the last year and a half of his life. So, you know, people do what they have to do, and so many people have it even more tough than I did. But we make it through because that's what we have to do.
Well, you state that John died after starving himself, not eating for 10 days. And unfortunately, my guess is that he was fully cognizant of what was going on and what pain and horror that must have been to do it that way. What would have been the better way?
Well, what my book and the film on which the book is based talks about from all sides, both pro and con, is medical aid in dying. And as I said, that is available in 9 states. All these laws are based on the first state to enact medical aid in dying in Oregon, which has been in effect for about 23 years. The District of Columbia has had the law in place for only the last 3.5 years, I think. And what that requires, Jim, is that 2 physicians must determine that an individual is within 6 months of death, as was determined in my husband's case, must be within 6 months of death, must be of sound mind, and must be able to self-administer the medication that is taken in liquid form. Now, in some states, a psychiatric examination is also required to ensure that there is no coercion on the part of any family member, any friend, anyone perhaps who might be eligible to receive the benefits of this person's death. So it must be determined that this person is acting in his or her own wishes. And once that is determined, then medication is prescribed, and a person can determine after that period of waiting, which in some states is 2 weeks or some states is less than that, that person can take that medication whenever he or she feels her suffering has become too great. Now, it's interesting, Jim, that 1/3 of the people who receive this medication decide not to use it. So only 2/3 of those who receive it actually take their own lives in that way. But it is such a peaceful death. And it's what I want for myself here in my own bed, with my own family surrounding me. I don't want to be in a hospital hooked up to a ventilator with tubes extending from my body. I don't want my family to see me in that way. And I certainly don't want to be suffering beyond my own capacity for dealing with it at the end.
The book is When My Time Comes from Diane Rehm. Is this particularly poignant during this time when we've had 500,000 people, more than 500,000 in the United States now die of COVID-19?
Jim, what this horrible disease, this virus has pointed out is that we must talk about what we want at the end of life and not wait until the end when something as awful as their strikes. There are many of us, and I am one. I called my doctor as soon as we learned about the virus. I called her and I said, should I come down with the virus? I do not want to go to a hospital. I do not wish to be intubated. I want to stay here in my own home and die in my own bed. And she told me that the difference in the amount of oxygen I could receive at home.
Okay, we do have to take a brief pause, and we will return with Diane Rehm in just a moment. This is Jim Inkster. A few more minutes with the remarkable Diane Rehm. 37 years as a talk host nationally on NPR, and she was with us on WRKF for many years. Her last broadcast in December, last live broadcast in December of 2016 on WRKF, but she is continuing with podcasts and has written a compelling book, When My Time Comes, about the Right to Die movement. She experienced it firsthand with her husband, John, in 2014, in which he opted to go 10 days without food. He starved himself to death, and Diane knows, based on her research, that there is a more humane way to do this. And, of course, many people believe that we should never do anything before the very end. But, Diane, there's very little quality of life when somebody is in immense pain and knowing that their days are numbered. Is there any percentage in keeping someone alive just for the sake of keeping someone alive?
You know, Jim, I want to say one thing before I answer that, and that is the feeling of pain is number six on the reason people choose the right to die. At the top is the loss of joy in life, the loss of dignity, the loss of a sense of control. And certainly that was the case in my husband's situation. And you mentioned food. You know, people can go for up to 40 or 50 days without food. But it's water that keeps the organs going. And without water for 10 days, the organs begin to break down. And that's why he ultimately passed away. I think that people do not make this decision lightly. John and I talked about this for so many years because we had both had the history of death in our families. So we both had promised one another that we would help each other when our time came. And my frustration was that I could not help this man I had loved and lived with for 54 years.
Richard in French Settlement. Richard, you are on WRKF with Diane Rehm. Hi, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Ms. Rehm, I just have 2 points I'm curious on your take. Is there a historical context for the right to die? Perhaps, you know, years ago in other societies before quote-unquote modern day, and how do you feel about hospice? Does it not go far enough with providing comfort for people in their end days? Thank you.
Those are two great questions. I think both in the Asian society and in other societies, there have been decisions on the part of individuals who, when they feel their lives have reached a point where they are no longer of use to society, they have been able to end it. That's gone on for centuries. Second of all, hospice is wonderful, and more hospice is allowing individuals who work in the hospice to help individuals die peacefully. Hospice is there for comfort. Hospice is there for dignity. And the hospice is there to keep the family and everyone comfortable.
Diane Rehm has lived an amazing life, much of it in the nation's capital. And before we leave, are you amazed at what has happened in the last few months? It is an interesting time we're living in.
Oh, Jim, far too interesting for my likes. I have lived in this city for all of my life, and I have been so distressed at what has happened, certainly on January 6th. I've never been so shocked in my life. I hope we can move on. I hope this country can find a way to come together and to be one country, one society with many different views, but nevertheless, one society again.
And you are an American story. Your parents were not born in this country. You have lived a life because of their immigration to this country. What did you learn about their odyssey and how it affected the way you were reared?
You know, that's such a wonderful question, and I wish I could tell you more. As I said earlier, they both died when I was 19. They both emigrated here from Turkey. And then my mother's family moved to Alexandria, Egypt. My father served in the First World War in France. He was drafted here in the United States, having come here in 1907. And I think what I've learned is that I didn't get to ask enough questions. I think as young people, especially in that society, parents were very private, and you couldn't really ask about everything that went before. How I wish I could answer questions about who they were, how they were, how they were raised, and what their parents' values were. How I wish I knew.
That When My Time Comes is the remarkable book from the fascinating Diane Rehm. It'll be available as a PBS documentary in April. And she also hosts a podcast for WAMU and NPR On My Mind. Diane, it is a pleasure and an honor to speak with you. And we're glad you're remaining in the game. And I look forward to another visit. This has been fun. Thank you.
Jim, thank you so much.
And see you soon. Thanks, Diane.
Bye.